here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urio.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today, Brandi, this is kind of an emergency, spur-of-the-moment reaction podcast because the Emmy nominations just came out, and there's a lot to talk about.
Yes, beep, beep, emergency Emmy pod, beep, beep.
We were actually, full disclosure, friends, we were going to be doing a current TV catch-up and doing our kind of best and favorite of recent shows from the spring and summer, and then the nominations came out. So you will be treated to not just one bonus episode this week, but a part two of our kind of summer TV catch-up next week.
It's honestly a plethora of riches for you guys, and I'm really excited for you.
Next week or very soon after. Don't hold me to that, just in case. But sometime before the end of the month. But anyway. So, Brandi, I think we just kind of jump right into it. There's a ton of surprises, a ton of snubs, one of which I texted you about this. I'm legitimately heated. Like, I was in a bad mood for most of the day when the nominations were announced the other day.
Wow.
Because a specific show was not nominated. And I think it's an absolute travesty, a sham, and a mockery. That said, though, there's a lot of fun stuff and good things, too. So we can kind of keep an even keel. But this is your very first time listening to the TV BFFs. Welcome. You should know that Brandi and I are both TV development executives on the production company and network side, respectively. So we're going to start with the reality TV categories and kind of dive into it. What do you think?
I love that because I just love that, like, reality TV nominations are getting their due. Like, we get to be on main show.
Yeah, I mean, some of them get to be on main
show.
Not all of them, but some get to be on main show.
Yeah.
So this first one, this is a main show category. Outstanding competition program. My favorite genre of reality. So we have The Amazing Race, Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, a Prime Video show, which I have not seen, new. Nailed It on Netflix, RuPaul's Drag Race on VH1, Top Chef on Bravo, and The Voice on NBC. Brandi, what are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is, I mean, but I know the answer to it is, why isn't The Challenge on this? But this last season of The Challenge, like, wasn't great.
No.
So, like, I get it. Okay, great. I'd also like to, full disclosure, just let everyone know that I am indeed in the TV Academy. And so I did cast my vote for a lot of these things. And I'm happy to say that most of the stuff that I voted for is on this list. Except for, I actually think that I didn't put anything in Outstanding Competition Program because I didn't feel that I'd watched enough of the shows.
Mm.
Or either I just put Top Chef. But my biggest thought on this is that, like, Top Chef has to take it. I really thought that this season in Houston was really, really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I'm rooting for Top Chef. I think that hits both. It's my should win. The will win is probably RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, RuPaul, they win every, and great show. Don't get me wrong.
Great show. What I don't like is The Amazing Race and The Voice still taking up real estate on this damn list every single year. Like, are people
Who's watching The Voice?
Who are watching those shows anymore?
Who's winning The Voice?
Right, exactly. Nobody knows.
Like,
but also, have you checked out the Lizzo show? Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls? I haven't seen that, but now I'm going to go check it out because I really wasn't aware of it until the nominations.
You know, I actually didn't know. I didn't know that it was a show. I don't know if I thought it was something to do with, like, her album or her single or something. It never occurred to me that, like, it was a TV show that I could watch. I just thought that it was, like, a PR thing she was doing. But I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, I agree. We'll check that out. We're pulling for Top Chef. Next one we have here is Outstanding Host for a Reality or Competition Program. So we have Nicole Byer for Nailed It. We have the Queer Eye group of guys. We have the Shark Tank Sharks. We have, this is interesting, just Padma for Top Chef. They didn't include Tom or Gail, which I think is interesting.
I think our Tom and Gail, Padma is the host.
But it's always the three of them on the posters, you know, but she is the host.
Yeah,
you're right.
She comes out and tells you what the quick fire is. You don't see Gail until judges table.
That's exactly right. Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman for Making It, which is my personal vote. I think that show is very underwatched and underappreciated, and the two of them together, an absolute blast. And then finally, RuPaul nominated for, I don't know how many consecutive years, but always well-deserved. probably will win. Maybe we'll win. What do you think?
I mean, I'm rooting for Nicole Byer.
Nice.
I think that that would just be awesome. Every time I watch Nailed It, I'm entertained. it's like, I don't need to be watching it like all the time, but like, it's a very entertaining show. And she's just so funny. I follow her on Instagram and, she had posted a bit from her, Netflix. She has a current special on Netflix. Uh-huh. And, she's just hilarious. It was about Karens and she's like, how, like, who are they going home to?
Chaz.
Like, what happens when they go home? It's like, you just did that.
That's true.
But yeah, I vote for Nicole, but I love my Queer Eye guys.
And a little overexposed though, I feel, at this point, you know. And also, like, there's five of them, so like, none of them are actually really doing heavy duty hosting lift. You know what I mean? I feel like the same with the Sharks and Shark Tank. Like, it's so spread out. Like, I don't think there are any of them are working as hard as like a Padma or Nicole or RuPaul, you know? Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, fun category. Next one up, outstanding structured reality program. So in our day to day, we would call this like formatted reality, right? Best structured reality show, best format.
Yeah.
Antiques Roadshow, which, but also nominated, I think, every year for the past, I don't know, 50 years, who knows?
Yeah.
Fixer Upper, Welcome Home on Magnolia. Love is Blind on Netflix. We need to talk about that. I don't know if you saw the news that dropped today. Queer Eye on Netflix, and then Shark Tank on ABC. So again, a lot of repeats here. I really don't know or really care about this category, I'll be honest with you. I mean, Shark Tank is great, but again, been around since forever. Same with Queer Eye.
I mean, I honestly vote for Love is Blind in this category because it's a new kind of format. These other ones are just like, first of all, Fixer Upper, what are you doing on there? It's just because everything that's on Magnolia like looks beautiful.
Truly does.
You know what I mean?
Truly
like
does.
It just like, it looks really like you just want to like live in there.
Oh, no shade to Magnolia. We develop for them often and we love working with them. Shout out Magnolia.
But I think Love is Blind is, it's a super unique format.
Yeah.
The casting was on point. Okay. And like on point from season one to season two. You would think that they wouldn't be able to hit it out of the park in season two. Like, because, and it's like, you know, they just kind of got lightning in a bottle with season one and the saga of Mark and Jessica. But like, I mean, season two like really brought it. So that's my vote.
Speaking of, I think that'd be fun. I think it would give Netflix a boost that it kind of needs right now. Especially since, speaking of on point casting, maybe not everybody, because we have, it just dropped today, a former Love is Blind contestant is suing Netflix and the production company and also the casting company, which doesn't track for me, for inhumane working conditions. The lawsuit filed by season two contestant Jeremy Hartwell says participants' decision-making was impaired through a combination of sleep deprivation, isolation, lack of food, and an excess of alcohol. And part of his argument was that he was hoping to leave the show. Oh, he signed on to the show so he could focus on, quote, just being himself. The lawsuit said he returned to Chicago, quote, feeling like a zombie.
Was it Jeremy?
His name's Jeremy.
First of all, dear Jeremy, you can't sue a reality show for like being a reality show.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what happens to people on reality shows. And I'm not just saying that because I work in reality TV. I'm saying that because like, I have watched reality TV.
Yeah.
And I see what goes on reality TV. So like, this is bonkers.
It's absolutely bonkers. Cause also like, my thought goes to like, this is going to be an awfully quick lawsuit because anyone on a reality show, especially of that profile and scope and scale as a Love is Blind, like, you know, the waivers and the agreements and the releases that everybody needs to sign. Like,
yeah, like, my guy, you've definitely signed a piece of paper that says we are not responsible if you get completely wasted. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, you probably signed a piece of paper that says I won't sue you if I don't like my experience on the show. So yeah, it apparently says that it might become part of like a class action. There's up to 100 people that might join. We'll be following it just out of incredible interest. But I mean, it would be catastrophic for the industry if it goes through and like actually makes any waves. Cause think about it, like, that's the whole point of the challenge, is to deprive people of sleep and sanity to get good TV, right? Like, it would It would absolutely crater our favorite show.
Yeah, it's called televised social experiments.
Exactly. Anyway, let's zip through a couple more of these. In the unstructured reality program, so that's more of your docu-series, your follow docs, that sort of vibe. We have Below Deck Mediterranean on Bravo, Cheer on Netflix. That would be the season 2 of Cheer. Love on the Spectrum US, also on Netflix. RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked on VH1 and Selling Sunset on Netflix. My initial thoughts are, good on you, RuPaul's Drag Race, for getting both a competition and a docuseries nomination for both versions of your show. That's fucking awesome and well done.
Yeah.
Also, congratulations to the Below Deck Mediterranean team, specifically the showrunner who is in a relationship with our friend Darren Karp, who I think, well, have you met Nadine?
No.
I met her a couple times. Wonderful human. I hope they win. I'm pulling for Below Deck Mediterranean in this category.
Me too. Just because, like, Bravo all the way. Although Love on the Spectrum US, like, I can't really speak on it because I haven't watched this season of it, but I did watch the first season of Love is Blind, Love on the Spectrum.
Right.
Which, like, I'm assuming, like, now thinking about it, it's like, oh, yeah, they were, like, in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Because I was like, why is this US?
Yeah. My family, my family text chain somewhat recently was blowing up about the show. So I think that's who they'll be voting for. But can we also take a second to talk about Cheer season 2? Because I did not think it was very good.
I honestly didn't get past the first episode.
Right. Yeah. I think we're over it. We've moved beyond the, what's the school called?
Oh God, what is it called?
We've moved on, Navarro. Sorry.
Navarro.
Moving on. Speaking of moving on. All right. So we got outstanding documentary or nonfiction series. So this is like a, you know, documentary series kind of, how would we describe it? Like a limited series type thing?
Yeah, like a limited, like bio series, which when we talk about what the nominees are, you'll totally get a.
Yeah. So the nominees here are 100 Foot Wave on HBO, HBO Max, Genius, a Kanye trilogy on Netflix, The Andy Warhol Diaries, also on Netflix, The Beatles Get Back on Disney Plus, and We Need to Talk About Cosby on Showtime. Which of these have you seen, Brandy?
I've seen Genius.
Same.
And I've seen We Need to Talk About Cosby.
I saw a couple episodes of that as well. And I kind of gently ducked in on The Beatles Get Back, like over the holidays, or just kind of on.
I'm like, I'm probably never ducking into that.
No, not your speed.
No.
I think I got to go for Genius. As much as Kanye is vexing, to put it shortly, the doc series was fucking awesome.
It was incredibly well done.
The two co-directors, I think, are actually legit geniuses, and I love their work. They did Benji, the 30 for 30 documentary as well. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling for that one. I thought it was just a beautiful, really eye-opening, like, it made me feel empathy for Kanye, even though I don't agree with almost anything that he does. I understand him now a lot better, I feel, anyway. I really loved that three-part. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Outstanding documentary and nonfiction special. So this is a standalone. We have Controlling Britney Spears on FX. We have George Carlin's American Dream on HBO, HBO Max. We have Lucy and Desi on Prime Video. We have The Tinder Swindler on Netflix. And we have We Feed People on Disney Plus. I don't think I've seen any of these except for the Britney Spears. Was that the New York Times one that came out?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that was an FX thing, right?
Like, yeah, the New York Times on FX. Yeah,
yeah, I think that was that. I will be watching Lucy and Desi very, very soon. I can't believe I haven't yet. A friend of mine from high school produced it. Shout out Ben Murphy, and Amy Poehler directed it, and I think she's nominated for a directing Emmy as well for it, which is really, really cool.
So wait, what is Lucy and Desi? I mean, I obviously know what it's about, but this is in addition to the Nicole Kidman.
Right. So the Nicole Kidman was, you know,
that's a different thing.
Totally different. So that was a scripted Aaron Sorkin thing that wasn't very good. This is a, you know, unscripted documentary that is apparently very, very good.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I will check that out. I was thinking about the Tinder Swindler, but I feel like it's just going to make me mad. Like, people got to stop getting catfished. Like, just don't believe anything. Don't believe anything until you see somebody in person. And even then, they're probably lying to you.
Absolutely. I let that one go in the wave of fraud content. There's too much other things going on.
Yeah.
And we'll get to some of those shows a little bit later. Let's see. I want to touch on two more real quick. One is Outstanding Hosted Nonfiction Series or Special. And I find this one interesting because I feel like there's some category fraud going on here. But we have My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman. We have Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy. We have The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple TV, The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Disney Plus, and Vice on Showtime. So this is kind of like the travel series, but also former like comedians that are now serious and have talk shows category. Mm-hmm. Also, like, it's a little bit of too mixy matchy for me. I do like a lot of these shows though. The Jeff Goldblum one, I've seen clips of, that's super fun. The Problem with Jon Stewart is very, very well done. Probably pulling for that. I don't know though. What do you think?
I honestly haven't seen any of these. I've seen like pieces of them. Well, actually Vice, I guess I've seen.
It's another like all-timer that always kind of pops up.
But I do really want to watch Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy. The problem with Jon Stewart, like, this is my thing with shows like that and like the vein of like, you know, Samantha Bee and John Oliver and stuff. It's like, I love those shows. And even The Daily Show, like I do love those shows, but like sometimes it's just like a lot. Like I can't be confronted with, like, even in a funny way, like all the bullshit that's going on.
Right. But that's what's weird about this, though, is why is it The Problem with Jon Stewart in the category with all of those other shows? We're going to get to that category in a bit.
I know. Why isn't it? Because we're not. Yeah. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Some category fraud. Maybe I just retracted my vote for The Problem with Jon Stewart. The Problem with Jon Stewart is his category fraud. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end of the nonfiction things, except for I wanted to shout out one thing because I know you and I both love this show and also love this episode. And it's a little bit of category fraud, maybe, but I mean, I think you could argue for why it's here. So in the outstanding writing for a nonfiction program, which also sounds a bit like an oxymoron, writing a nonfiction program, but it absolutely does happen. People do write and script out, you know, how these shows are going to be laid out. But there's nominees for Lucy and Desi, the Andy Warhol Diaries, The Problem with Jon Stewart, an episode of that, The Tinder Swindler, but then also an episode of How To with John Wilson.
Oh, so deserved.
And it's the How to Appreciate Wine episode, which is the one that ends up getting into the NXIVM shit, which is just so fucking awesome. I'm a giant hypocrite because this could also be category fraud, but in this case, I am rooting for it and I hope it wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. And any kind of love in that show can get, I'm down for.
Absolutely.
It's just, it's so inventive and hilarious.
Yeah, it's just the best. Oh, damn, it's so good. All right, so that's all of the unscripted stuff. We can pop over to, you know, the main events. What do you think? Do you want to start with comedy, drama, or miniseries anthology? You pick.
Let's start with the miniseries anthology.
Okay, let's do miniseries anthology, and then we'll do comedy, and we'll save the drama for last.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with the acting categories and work up to like the actual shows.
Okay.
Okay. So best supporting actor in a limited or anthology series or movie. We have Murray Bartlett in The White Lotus, Jack Lacey, The White Lotus, Will Poulter, Dopesick, Seth Rogen, Pam and Tommy, Peter Sarsgaard in Dopesick, Michael Stuhlbarg in Dopesick, and Steve Zahn in The White Lotus. I feel like I just said The White Lotus and Dopesick a whole lot.
Yeah. One for Pam and Tommy. Everything else is The White Lotus and Dopesick, which I have not seen.
Listen, I mean, let's also just, I'm going to read the supporting actress in limited anthology because we're going to talk about the same thing. Connie Britt in The White Lotus, Jennifer Coolidge, The White Lotus, Alexander Daddario, The White Lotus, Caitlin Dever, Dopesick, Natasha Rothwell, The White Lotus, Sydney Sweeney, The White Lotus, and Mayor Winningham, Dopesick. So clearly voters had their favorites. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, this bugs me. This really bugs me. I really like The White Lotus. And this is not me hating on The White Lotus, but I feel like the love for it is just gone out of proportion a little bit. Like it's not scaling with actually, I feel like there was such like a downtime in the pandemic. It was like one of the only good things that was on when it was on. And then we got the onslaught of stuff a little bit later as everything else caught up. And I feel like it felt so remarkable to people because it was able to stand out and it's stuck out in people's memories for that reason. But I feel like you gotta leave room for some other folks here from some other shows. I mean,
look, I also really enjoyed The White Lotus. I mean, Moses and I dressed up like Belinda and Armand for Halloween. No big deal. We loved the show. But I feel like I agree with you. Like, this is overkill. I feel like in supporting actress, Jennifer Coolidge, yes. We don't need Sydney Sweeney in there. Sorry, Sydney.
Honestly, I love her. We don't need Connie Britton in there.
We don't need Connie Britton in there. Like, I mean, I would say, like, it would be, for me, it'd be between Jennifer Coolidge and Alexandra Daddario, you know? Because even, I mean, and I love Natasha Rothwell.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah, and then in supporting actor, like, Murray Bartlett, yes. I thought he was great. Jake Lacy, asshole boyfriend character, he was good.
I mean, but look, like, I did really hate him, but Murray was the standout here.
Murray was
the
standout.
Bartlett was the standout.
And then Steve Zahn, yeah, he was good, but like not on the level. And I just feel like, and this is where it's going to start my campaign for justice for Station 11. We are in the anthology, you know, limited series category. That's what Station 11 was. It was widely regarded by not just me, many critics as the best thing on TV, period, last year. And there's no young Kirsten here. Matilda Lawler, who played young Kirsten on here. There's no, Daniel Deadweiler, who played Miranda on here. Those are the two that come to mind. It does get an acting nomination a little bit later on, which is deserved. Gosh, there's no, who played Frank? Naban Rizwan, who played Frank Chaudhry on the show. It just, I'm going to come back to this once we get to the big category, and I'm really going to let loose, but this is the foreshadowing. This is the setup. Mm-hmm. This is where it starts, because just leave some space.
You just put Chekhov's gun on the table.
Yeah, I did.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of what else I would have. I'm trying to think back to my ballot and what I was voting for on this. Cause I know I definitely picked White Lotus. Like, obviously, yeah. Like you have to, you pick, I think it was like six or something. And I'm trying, like, cause I've never, what is Dope Sick?
Dope Sick's on Hulu. It's the Dope Sick is the Michael Keaton show about like the opiate epidemic and kind of how it, I think, I haven't seen it. It's another one that all my family has and I haven't. And I feel like I'm on the outside looking in. Again, I don't doubt it's great.
I mean, listen, I'm interested in Mare Winningham and Caitlin Dever. I really love her too. The Academy is loving it.
Let's go up to the best actor and actress, because there's a little bit more parity here, which is nice. Best actor in a limited series, movie or anthology. We have Colin Firth for The Staircase, Andrew Garfield for Under the Banner of Heaven, Oscar Isaac for Scenes from Marriage, Michael Keaton from Dope Sick, Himesh Patel from Station 11, the one and only nomination for Station 11, I might add, and Sebastian Stan, inexplicably, for Pam and Tommy. But you know what? Go for it. Do you, Sebastian. Yeah, I'm absolutely rooting for Himesh Patel here. I think probably Michael Keaton will win, though, because I think everyone who talks about that show talks about Michael Keaton in that show. Mm-hmm. Even though I haven't seen it, I feel like that's where the vibes are going. What do you think?
I feel like Andrew Garfield has could come in for that one.
He's got a lot of juice for Under the Banner.
I feel like he's got some juice from that. But I also feel like Colin Firth, like HBO gets it in.
That's true. And I'm not on a lot of the true crime scripted stuff, because I spend all day developing unscripted true crime that I just can't watch more of it when I get home. So I haven't watched The Staircase, haven't watched Under the Banner. So I can't really weigh in. Have you seen either of those?
No.
No. Moving on. Best actress in a limited series movie anthology. Toni Collette, also The Staircase. Julia Garner, Inventing Anna. We'll come back to that. Lily James, Pam and Tommy. Sarah Paulson, Impeachment, American Crime Story. Margaret Qualley, Maid. And Amanda Seyfried for The Dropout. This one's pretty stacked. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Julia Garner is going for it. She was committed. I'm not sure that everyone agrees it was a great accent. little surprised to see her. I would probably swap her out for Mackenzie Davis against Station 11, but I'm not as mad at this category. Amanda Seyfried for me is the clear front runner here for The Dropout. I think she absolutely stole the show on that show and made it as good as it was. Next to her co-star, who was widely regarded as a snub here, is Naveen Andrews, her co-star in Inventing Anna, probably should have snuck in, probably over Sebastian Stan, I would guess. But back to Best Actress, what are you thinking about this one, Brandy? Where's your head go?
Well, I should back it up and say that I did do my due diligence and I watched at least one episode of a lot of these things.
Okay. You're a good voter. Good.
I'm a good voter. Like, I don't want people to think, like, I did watch one episode of everything, but like, I feel like what would really take me to the, like, really take it to the limit would be if I watched that one episode and was like, gotta get to the next one. And that rarely happened. Although I think I am going to go back. I did not do Dope Sick. But I did do like Scenes from a Marriage, which was just too, I couldn't.
That sounds intense.
It was really intense. And then Pam and Tommy, honestly, it's like, I finished the first episode and I was like, all right, I get it. Yeah. For the lead actress, I didn't love Julia Garner in Inventing Anna.
No, me either. And I love her. I did not like her in that role. I could barely get through an episode, I'll be honest.
Yeah. My vote is for sure for Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, I agree. We're aligned there. And that brings us to the big one. Best Limited or Anthology Series, 5 nominations. Dope Sick on Hulu. The Dropout on Hulu. Pam and Tommy on Hulu. You know what? Good on the Hulu fucking promo marketing PR team. Like, they're doing their damn job. Inventing Anna, Netflix, and The White Lotus on HBO. I got a lot of love for The Dropout. I feel like The White Lotus is going to absolutely run away with it.
I think The White Lotus, yeah.
It's going to run away with it.
Because, like, wasn't The White Lotus also only, like, 6 episodes?
6 or 8, maybe, something like that.
Like, it was yeah,
it was quick.
I just feel like they really, like, they, every single episode, there was no filler.
No, it was great. Inventing Anna absolutely should not be on this list. Station 11 for Inventing Anna, and all of a sudden my mood is entirely different and, like, vindicated. But they fucked up, Academy. And Brandy, I'm going to have to lump you in because you were also a voter. Did you throw a vote at Station 11? I'm putting you on the spot.
I did not throw a vote to Station 11.
This is... We're going to have to work through this. We're going to have to really.
I know you loved it so much. And I did watch 1.5 episodes. And I did also read the book. I had read the book when it came out. But yeah, like, because you have given it such high praise, I will try again.
Thank you.
To see if I can get,
that's all
I can get over the hump. You know what I mean? And like, and see this greatness that you, that you're seeing when you
It's watch. Not just me, Brandy. I got to tell you.
No, I know other people have liked it, but those people don't be voting in the Academy.
Apparently not. Critics don't get many votes. If any. Do critics get votes? Critics don't. No, they have Critics' Choice Awards. They don't get votes. All right. Let's move on to a lighter fare. Let's move on to comedy. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Best supporting actor in a comedy series. We have Anthony Carrigan from Barry. That's NoHo Hank. Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso. Toheeb Jamoh from Ted Lasso, Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso, Tony Shalhoub from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Tyler James Williams from Abbott Elementary, Henry Winkler from Barry, and Bowen Yang from Saturday Night Live. Not surprised by the Ted Lasso love. I think that this is still lingering from its, you know, huge.
Yeah, from its first
everything
season.
It got, you know, from its first season, a little bit of lingering there. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this one, Brandy?
For me, this one is between Anthony Carrigan and Henry Winkler. Although, like, I love Bowen Yang and I'm so happy to see him nominated. Like, yeah. Not that I want him to always be nominated and never win. I want him to win.
I think it's really hard for the SNL players to win in these categories. It really is.
I know. Me too. It's like they're up against people who have an entire season of episodes to craft their one character and, like, just to really get to know them. And with the SNL folks, it's just like, I mean, obviously you're so good and you're such a good actor.
Right. But you're really, because they're only submitting one episode. And depending on how many sketches you're in, you're really kind of pinning everything on like 2 or 3 sketches. Yeah. So if voters don't like one of those 3 sketches, you're probably not going to get a vote, you know? So it's tough.
But
we love Bowen.
Bowen's amazing. Anthony Carrigan to me, is like the heart of Barry.
He really is, especially this season with the queer storyline, which I absolutely loved.
Yes, he's great. But Henry Winkler is also like so good because this is for season 3, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for season 3.
Which was really an amazing season of television and just deserves all the awards. I wish that they could both get it because they both went above and beyond.
Well, I'm worried they might split the vote a little bit, you know?
Well, if they split the vote, then I think it should be Tyler James Williams from Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, he was good. He was really good. I was a little surprised by his nomination, though. I liked his character a lot. I didn't feel like his character had a ton of range, however.
He's a little, I see what you mean, but like,
but it all depends on what episode was submitted. Cause some of the later episodes, he got a lot more to do. So I'm assuming, that it's probably one of those later episodes when he was a bit more fleshed out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was great. And I love Abbott. And that's one of the really fun stories of this year. And we'll get into it more, a lot of Abbott Elementary love. What we're not going through is, you know, writing, which Abbott Elementary got a lot of love for.
Mm-hmm. As it should have.
Absolutely. Best supporting actress in a comedy series. Speaking of Abbott Elementary, we have Janelle James, my favorite part of that show. Mm-hmm. Alex Borenstein from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Hannah Einbinder from Hacks, Kate McKinnon from SNL, Sarah Niles from Ted Lasso, Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary, Juno Temple from Ted Lasso, and Hannah Waddingham from Ted Lasso.
I mean,
I gotta go Janelle. I have to go Janelle James in this category. I loved her so much.
I would love Janelle James, but you don't think it's going to be Hannah Einbinder from Hacks?
I think Hannah Einbinder will win, but my should win is Janelle James. Mm-hmm. No shade against Hannah. I love Hacks. I think it's maybe the funniest show on TV when it's on. And I love season two.
I think it's because I'm in the middle of season two right now that like, so she's just very fresh in my mind. And it's just like, she's so good. Like she plays so well off of Jean Smart. Like they're just such a great duo.
Yeah. She definitely has more to do. A little bit of category fraud here with the supporting actress, which I think is so she doesn't have to go against Jean Smart.
Yeah.
And split the vote, I think. Mm-hmm. So like she really should probably be in a lead actress category. Mm-hmm. So maybe that because she's had more to do than almost everyone else on this list, maybe mm-hmm. that tips it for her. Also got a shout out Cheryl Lee Ralph though, Abbott Elementary, who mm-hmm. Is also just absolutely incredible and so fun.
And I also still love Hannah Waddingham. She's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Juno Temple was really good too. I think mm-hmm. she stepped up in the second season. So mm-hmm. well-deserved all around.
Yeah.
Here we go. Best actor in a comedy series. Donald Glover for Atlanta. Bill Hader for Barry. Nicholas Hoult for The Great. Steve Martin and Martin Short, both for Only Murders in the Building, and Jason Sudeikis, of course, from Ted Lasso. You said it, Barry. Bill Hader walks away with this one, right?
Yeah, 100%. And this, I feel, is a little bit of category fraud with Donald Glover in Atlanta, because this season of Atlanta, like...
he's barely in it.
Earn is not a big part of it.
He should be supporting actor.
Supporting actor or, like, directing, writing. Like, it was really good, so, like, he should be getting some stuff, but, like, yeah. I wouldn't have put him in for best actor.
Yeah.
And like obviously I love Only Murders in the Building. I love Steve Martin and Martin Short. But this is Barry. This is Bill Hader's award.
Yeah.
But also category fraud because Barry is funny sometimes, but like it defies genre to me.
Listen, there's a world in which you can literally swap, and we'll get to it in a minute, but like you could put Barry in drama and put Succession in comedy, and mm-hmm. I think it would work. Yeah. I think we're still, you think of a half hour show, you think of it as a comedy, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, we'll get into this on our next, you know, part two of our bonus episode when we do our recent BFFs, but like I'm going to talk about The Bear, which is a half hour show. I don't know how it would be categorized, you know.
Just so you know, Dan, watch the first episode.
Damn right you did.
I'm gonna keep watching it because I think that Moses will really like it and we could watch it together. So I watched maybe the first act of the second episode and I was like, nope, I'm gonna wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rewatch with Mo. I was like, a 30-minute show. I was like, I think that you'll like this. I was like, I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? Like, because you can see, like, with the cousin character, a mm-hmm. lot of funny lines. There is laughs yeah. there, but, like, you'll see as you get into it, the show's fucking intense, and it's dramatic. Yeah.
So, no, it seems like you know. We're about to uncover some pretty dramatic shit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. In the best way, it's so fucking good. All two words, episode 7. Oh, my God. Okay. If you've watched. And again, we'll get more into that when we do our recent BFFs. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, best actor, Bill Hader's to lose. Best actress in a comedy series, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Quinta Brunson for Abbott Elementary, Kaylee Cuoco for Flight Attendant, Elle Fanning for The Great, Issa Rae for Insecure, finally Insecure getting some love. That's another one that has not had very much outside of Issa here. And then Jean Smart, we mentioned, for Hacks.
This is so tough for me.
Let's go through them. Rachel Brosnahan, yeah, she was great, but no. Kaylee, same with Kaylee Cuoco, the Flight Attendant. Mm. No. Elle Fanning for The Great. I've not watched The Great. That's very high on the everyone that I respect loves and raves about mm-hmm. it. Why haven't I watched it yet? So like that's going to be a watch pretty soon here. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to see. I think for me, it's got to be between Quinta, Issa, and Jean Smart. Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of those three. Who do you got?
I mean, this last season of Insecure was so good. And I need Issa Rae to win this. It's so tough because Jean Smart is heavenly in Hacks. Like, she's so good. But, like, Issa Rae, like this is the last go-round for her. And I also think, and I feel that same way about Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. Abbott Elementary is going to be on. Like, this show is going to be in our life. And
yeah.
I want it to win a bunch of stuff, but like I need Issa Rae.
Yeah. And listen, Quinta has already made history. She's the first Black woman to be a 3-time nominee in 1 year, I believe. Oh, wow. I think that's true. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that. But I think, yeah, because she's nominated for writing, for acting, and it's her show. So she's a producer for mm-hmm. the best comedy. So she'll have more bites at the apple, forgive the teacher joke. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's got to be Issa. She's got to get it for the final season. It would mm-hmm. be sad if she didn't.
It was so good. That last episode was just so perfect.
Yeah. All right. That brings us to the best comedy series. We have Abbott Elementary, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Only Murders in the Building, Ted Lasso, and What We Do in the Shadows. All right. Before we dive into this, I do need to shout out the other snub that boils my blood. Absolutely no love for Reservation Dogs, which makes me very upset.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
I understand the acting nomination's okay. I get it. Young cast, unknowns. Probably, you know, I think they could have done a supporting actor for Zahn McClarnon, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was my favorite comedy of last year. So
I voted for it.
Ah, there we go. Okay, we're back. I think this mm-hmm. leveled out the no vote for Station 11. But yeah, so that makes me a little sad. You know, it's coming back. It got renewed. It'll have more chances, but mm-hmm. a little sad not seeing that. That said, though, some really fun ones here. What We Do in the Shadows won't win, but fun to see it nominated.
I know. I'm so glad to see that nominated. I'm really upset that Insecure wasn't nominated.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That's egregious to me.
That's not okay. I agree. But with what's on the board, what do you think? Is it Barry?
I think it's going to be between Barry and Abbott Elementary. And I think
Hacks is going to have another shot. Barry's probably the best of all of these shows.
Yes. But I do think that if the Academy wants to live by the words it says, as far as like, we're going to give everybody a chance, then Abbott Elementary should win.
Well, but I think giving everybody a chance is the nomination. I don't think that means you gotta but I will say it in some TV BFF terms here, like Barry's the best, but Abbott Elementary is my favorite on this list. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'd slice it that way. With Hacks could probably slot into both best and favorite if I had mm-hmm. to choose. And, you know, depending on how long it runs, could be a forever show just because I love those vibes so much. But
also this season of Curb was really hilarious, but
I didn't finish it.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, and the episode that Bill Hader was in was really joyous.
I don't think I saw that one.
He played like three brothers, but he wouldn't. He said they weren't related, but it's all obviously like they're like triplets or something.
Right.
It's all him.
That's funny. Before we get to the drama categories, we skipped over a couple. Real quick, best variety sketch series. So we're kind of still in the comedy vein here. Again, weirdly, only two nominations, A Black Lady Sketch Show, True Love, and SNL.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably a should win, will win. Should win Black Lady Sketch Show, will win SNL, probably.
I mean, I voted for Black Lady Sketch Show.
Hell yeah. And for those wondering why Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave is not nominated, it is. But if you remember, those episodes were so short that it was nominated for short form variety or sketch. So hopefully Tim Robinson also wins in his own category. And then we got the best variety talk series, which again is where the problem with Jon Stewart maybe should be. But instead we have nominations for The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the perennial winner, Late Night with Seth Meyers. Finally, I love that. And The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I think I got to go with Seth Meyers for this one. I love that show. He never gets nominated, and it's about damn time.
I'll go with you on that. I feel like I don't have a, I don't really have a dog in that fight. Cause I like all, like, I feel like it's super solid. I would be happy with anybody. There's nobody there that I feel like, oh, them again. Cause it's like,
well, the true winners weren't nominated in both Z-Way and Amber Ruffin. So we still have some work to do. We still have some work to do.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump up to the drama categories. Are we ready?
Yes.
Get ready for a lot of S's. Here we go. Supporting actor in a drama series. We have Nicholas Braun for Succession, Billy Crudup in The Morning Show, Kieran Culkin, Succession, Park Hae-soo, Squid Game, Matthew McFadden, Succession, John Turturro, Severance, Christopher Walken, Severance, and Oh Young-soo for Squid Game. Lots of S shows. I'm sorry, listening audience, but that's where we're at. Shit, man, I don't know. This one's fucking stacked.
It really, really, really is.
Even Billy Crudup, he's the best part of The Morning Show. I think he deserves to be there. Any of the Succession folks are great. Christopher Walken probably didn't have quite enough to do. I would put Turturro over him for the Severance folks. Oh, man. Squid Game, it's been so long since I saw Squid Game. So that one, it's harder for me to get excited about because it was so long ago.
I mean, listen, Kieran Culkin had better have this locked up because that's it was his strongest season. He like just the episode where he accidentally sends Logan the dick pic, like just his his face and expression in that episode is enough to like run the man his Emmy.
But I counter with the Tom father. I counter with Matthew McFadden, which looking back on the season and how it ended, like he did a lot and some of the best scenes of that season, like Kendall and Tom in the diner and Tom and cousin Greg at the wedding before the big, you know, ending, like Tom was putting in work.
Tom was good. Tom put in the work.
The scenes with fucking Shiv, the more the absolutely emotionally devastating
awful ones where she basically was like, I don't love you.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I don't love you. Does that make you hot? And he had to, just excellent stuff.
Yeah.
Someone from Succession will win though. I think you're right. Best supporting actress in a drama series. We have Patricia Arquette in Severance, Julia Garner in Ozark, Young Ho Yoon for Squid Game, Christina Ricci for Yellowjackets, Rhea Seehorn for Better Call Saul, J. Smith Cameron for Succession, Sarah Snook for Succession, and Sydney Sweeney for Euphoria. Sydney Sweeney, second nomination. Julia Garner, second acting nomination. Those two are cleaning up. Fuck.
This is Rhea saying, like, is it Ray?
I think it's Rhea Seehorn.
Seehorn.
Yeah.
She has to win.
Has to.
She has
last
to win.
Chance, first nomination for the show. Please do the right thing. Do the right thing. Christina Ricci was excellent, but she'll be back. There's more seasons of Yellow Jackets to come. Julia Garner, I'm mad at her for inventing Anna. I'm sorry. We're going to have to skip over you on this one. Patricia Arquette was awesome in Severance, but again, there will be more. And all the Succession women, again, excellent, but not as excellent as Rhea Seehorn. I'm sorry. Especially this season. She's just been on another level.
Yeah. Rhea Seehorn is, that's my vote all the way.
Yeah. And if you want more Better Call Saul chat, again, tune in next week. We'll have plenty more. Okay. Best actor in a drama series. We have Jason Bateman for Ozark, Brian Cox for Succession, Lee Joon-jae for Squid Game, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, Adam Scott for Severance, and Jeremy Strong for Succession. This one
is really, really tough because you can make such a strong case for every single person.
Yes, except for Jason Bateman.
You don't think so?
The final season of Ozark really let me down.
Oh, was it not? Oh, okay.
It let me down. And he wasn't, he had, I know exactly which episode they submitted. It's when he goes down to Mexico and he was very good in that episode. But as a season, as a whole, he just wasn't the most memorable part about the final season of Ozark, weirdly. So I would count him out. Brian Cox, was he in enough? Was he in it enough to be a true best actor and not supporting? Probably. I don't know. But I think of the Succession guys, Jeremy Strong has a stronger case this season. For me, though, it's between Bob Odenkirk. Oh, man. Adam Scott was really good, but I got to root for Bob in the last season of Better Call Saul. I mean, the man had a heart attack mid-filming and came back and just the best role he's ever portrayed. I don't think he's won for this yet. Mm-hmm. So like, now is the time. Let's do it.
Yeah. For me, it would be between Bob Odenkirk and Adam Scott, and Bob Odenkirk I think that's where I'm going to.
I think so. Right.
I think it's the last season. Like, it's time. Like, he gets to get it.
Yeah. Has to.
Although, like, I love Player 4, 5, 6.
I know. He was really good. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins, to be quite honest. That show was so huge. Not that we forget how huge it was, but like I was saying, we're so far separated that I kind of forgot the feeling of how huge it was.
Yeah.
But it was still the most watched show on Netflix history. All right. Only two left. We have Best Actress in a Drama Series, which is also my last fit that I'm going to throw, but we'll get there. Jodie Comer in Killing Eve, Laura Linney in Ozark, Melanie Lynskey in Yellow Jackets, Sandra Oh in Killing Eve, Reese Witherspoon in The Morning Show, and Zendaya in Euphoria.
I can just go ahead and put out there that I love both Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer. Killing Eve, I thought, was a really great show.
Was a really great show. Operative word being was.
Yeah. And I did not love this last season. And I don't understand their placement here, other than that it's the last season of the show and they are consistently nominated. Like,
yeah, but listen, brilliant actresses, right? Yeah. Like, love them both. And Sandra, I'd watch Sandra Oh in anything. Mm-hmm. And Jodie Comer, that first season, like, there's never been someone more magnetic or electric in a fucking season of TV. She was excellent. But yeah, like, past its prime, what are we doing here? Like, and especially if we're talking last seasons and giving someone their due, where the fuck is Mandy Moore on this list? Where the fuck is Mandy Moore for the final season of This Is Us?
I'm so upset that Mandy Moore wasn't nominated.
I am, like, it was my 1, 2, 3 was like, where's Station 11? Where's Mandy Moore? And then, like, Reservation Dogs after I cooled down a little bit and forgot and remember, like, oh shit, that's gone too. But Mandy Moore, I was livid. And I, like, those last, like, 5 episodes especially, that second to last episode especially.
And, like, listen, people can say what they want about This Is Us. Like, yes, it is. They purposely want to make you cry and feel things. It's like, that's what the show is. And, like,
yeah,
it's super cheesy. Like, oh my God, no, Kevin didn't get, like, John Legend to perform for a woman that he just met.
Like, okay, you know,
I get it. That's some bullshit. And also the fact that, like, Kevin's supposed to be this, like, Brad Pitt level, like, hot guy, but, like, nobody's ever falling all over him wherever they go in public. But all of that aside, this last season was really good, and Mandy Moore really brought it. And, like, I believe that Rebecca Pearson is a real person.
Me too. And the fact that she could play, like, literally the youngest version of Rebecca from the earliest days, because they you know, bookended and brought a lot of things back to the beginning in a really beautiful way those last couple episodes, but then also play a elderly woman slipping into dementia in the same season and feel like, and then in all the eras in between, like, she played, I want to say, 4 versions of that character in this final season. And in that second to last episode on the train, like, God, I've never cried so hard, at least recently, at an episode of television. And it was really because of her. Like, she was the rock of that show.
It was such a beautiful depiction of death that we really haven't seen before. And it was just so fitting with who her character was, the how she went through that. And also just, like, she was so good. The show, this is an egregious oversight.
It really is. Egregious is exactly the right word. And I will never forgive the Academy. Brandy, you voted for her.
Right? I voted for her. She was my number one vote.
See,
I also voted for Melanie Lynskey.
Bring us back around. Melanie Lynskey is who I'm rooting for here.
Yeah.
I think this is a should win, will win, should win Melanie Lynskey, will win Zendaya. I think Zendaya took, like, really captured a lot of people.
Yeah, Zendaya, the
because we know what episode was submitted. It was
we know the episode that I popped in on.
Yeah, that's right. The withdrawal episode.
Mid-withdrawal run.
Oh, my God. Absolute top to bottom thrill ride. And she was excellent. So I think, probably will win. Would I love to see Melanie Lynskey win, though? Absolutely. That would be so fun. The only person we didn't mention here, Reese Witherspoon on The Morning Show. I don't know what you're doing here, but okay.
Yeah.
And Laura Linney, she was the strongest performance on that final season of Ozark, but mm-hmm. she won't win. Mm. Okay. We're to the best drama series, which is, I find it strange that why can best comedy series have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Best drama has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But the anthology miniseries only has 5. If you expand it to 8, we have no issues. You could fit in Station 11. Fuck, you could throw in a We Own the City. Mm-hmm. Can't believe John Barenthal wasn't nominated. That's another one that I don't understand. But anyway, back to best drama series, the final award that we'll go over here. We have Better Call Saul, Euphoria, Ozark, Severance, Squid Game, Stranger Things, Succession, and Yellowjackets. Now, before we dive into it, we're going to talk a lot about Stranger Things next week. So let's put a pause on like diving into this latest season and why it's nominated. I'm not mad at it. Mm-hmm. The fact that nobody else or nothing else about it is nominated, I think is telling to why it probably won't win, but I like the representation because I thought it was a really excellent season. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't know, Brandi, you go first because I don't know where I'm at yet. What do you think?
This is actually really tough because there is like Succession is one of the best shows on TV.
Probably the front runner just because it has the cachet. You know what I mean? Yeah. It has the momentum from the last couple of years of being really strong.
But like Severance is like a really cool out of the box concept that shouldn't work. And it works so well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it should like I should have, and I do have a lot of questions, but like my questions don't matter.
And they're good ones. They're questions that make me want to watch more. And I don't feel mad that I don't have answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I liken that though. And I think it might split votes because that has a similar energy to me that Yellowjackets does, like new, surprising, what the fuck is this? We have no idea what it is, but we never knew how much we needed it type energy to it. Really love seeing Yellowjackets on here. That was another surprise. I'm like, wow, good for you. That's fucking, that's sweet. That's cool. I like that.
But I have to say the show that I think should win and I hope that it will win is Better Call Saul.
Same.
It's just because that show is just firing right on all cylinders. Not that all of these aren't, because obviously they are, otherwise they wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But like Better Call Saul is just so, and you know what it is? It's because of all these shows with the, exception of Stranger Things and probably Ozark. I'm not sure how many, seasons there are of that.
That went 5. Ozark went 5 in this last season. I'm surprised it's on this list. That's the one that probably doesn't belong here, I would say.
Okay. But I just have to say that like because this is the last season of Saul, you can really see how every single detail is so deliberate and like, and planned. Like every single part of the show is so planned. Like you're not seeing anything that is extraneous.
Yes, absolutely. Do you know what I mean? I do. Yeah.
And it's just so impressive.
It really is. And so we're recording, you know, a couple of days after the nominations came out, which is also the same week that Better Call Saul just came back from its mid-season hiatus. So we're just coming off watching episode 8. We had the first 7 and then we had this break. We're not going to spoil anything, but what I will say is that a lot of things happened in this most recent episode that I think a lot of people assumed would happen closer to the end. And that's given me a lot of just like, man, they know exactly, like, because there was some, I think there was a little bit of nervous chatter as that first half of the season was going on. Like, has it lost its fastball? Did it add episodes? Is it too, you know, stretched out here? Are we just kind of treading water in a couple episodes? Like kind of after like the big Nacho episode 3, and then before like the kind of shenanigans with the Howard of it all and those, the final couple episodes of the half season, like the middle ground there was a little bit soft. But now looking back and after watching the episode that we just watched, I'm like, oh, they know exactly what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Everything that we've been anticipating, like, yes, some people have guessed some things, some like Lalo related things. I don't want to say too much and spoil anything, but even though those things delivered, it's still not exactly as we thought. And there's still so much, there's 5 more episodes left and I have no idea what they're going to do. We still need to see Walt and Jesse. We still need to go see Gene in Omaha. How many episodes are going to be in the future? How many episodes are going to overlap with Breaking Bad? How many episodes do we need to close the loop on where we're at now? Like, it's just so thrilling. And I have no doubt that they're going to land the plane. And that's such a rare feeling to have. Mm-hmm. And I think it speaks to how good the show is. And I think you're right. And it's this final season. Give it its crowning jewel. Give it an Emmy.
Yeah. That's every episode in this last season was a winner, which I think is something that should also be taken into account. Like, I know that they, you know, they send in like one episode to be like, you know, this is when this person did the best job or whatever. But
I think for this, though, I think they send in three for like the best like show. Right. You're the voter. You tell me. But I feel like it's more than just one for like the best show categories.
It was. I'm trying to remember. It was definitely more than one. Like, for some of them, it was all of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they had aired already. Like, you have to go into, like, their screening rooms or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, no, Better Call Saul that's what I need. Like, I would love to see it be Squid Game. I definitely don't think it'll be Stranger Things, although I have to say that, and, you know, we'll get into Stranger Things next when we talk next, but I was impressed that I was out on Stranger Things. And then I just started watching the newest season and I was back in and like, I'm more in than ever now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot of people's story with Stranger Things. So yeah, I think it's almost kind of like, we see you, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
We like the spectacle. We like the fact that you're doing movies on TV kind of, you know, in some way. All right. So let's do a little mini, BFF here in the best drama. What's the best, and then what's your favorite? And then, what has forever vibes to you, even though you can't really say? I can go first.
Yeah. Okay. You go first.
And I'm going to, because we both picked Saul to win, I'm going to exclude Better Call Saul because we just talked about it. So I think I'm going to go best is Succession. I think that's the best show on this list outside of Better Call Saul, which should win. I think my favorite is Severance. I was obsessed with that show. I watched it twice and love it. And this will come up when we maybe tweak our own criteria. Stranger Things is in my criteria conversation after this last season. And we'll dig into that more, but that's a potential. I could see that as being maybe not a forever show, but based on this list, it gives me forever energy. What about you? Quick BFF with these best drama series.
For me, the best is Squid Game.
Nice.
And then my favorite, it's going to be a tie between Succession and Yellow Jackets.
Nice.
And I think I'm with you on the Stranger Things just has a forever vibe.
It does, right?
I don't know if it's because like it hits on so much nostalgia.
It does.
Which even though what's so funny about the nostalgia that it hits on, it's like I was like 3 when that show, you know, like it's not.
Listen,
like,
I was this recent season in 86, still not born.
But you're not
born in 87. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, but it's so funny because I see the 80s. It's like, oh, I remember the 80s. It's like, do you remember 0 to 9?
We remember people remembering the 80s when in the 90s when we were growing up. You know what I mean? That's what we remember. All right. Any final thoughts? Any overall thoughts before we sign off here?
My final thoughts are that I really wish that Z-Way was on this list. Mm. I really wish that Issa Rae and Insecure were on this list more. Like, I think there could have definitely been some best supporting actresses from Insecure. Like, where's Tiffany? You know, where Kelly? Come on.
Yeah.
And Amanda Seales and Natasha Rothwell, everyone. But yeah, I see that would be my only thing.
My overall thoughts, I mean, I think I've been pretty outspoken about my overall thoughts and what I think was snubbed. So I won't relitigate that. But I will say, though, that like overall, except for those like couple categories that were real heavy handed with just a couple shows, I am excited about the variety here. Mm-hmm. I'm excited that a lot of female directors have been nominated this year. I want to say, let me see here. Yeah, this year's Outstanding Director for a Comedy Series boasts 5 female directors, which is really, really awesome. And on the drama side, 3 women were also nominated in the director category. So I think that's really cool. We'll love to see more of that continuing forward. Love seeing more Black creators of color being represented with the Abbott Elementaries, you know, things like that. So good things are happening. there's just so much TV that we can, good things can happen. We can also be mad about things that weren't recognized at the same time because there's just that much TV. But I like seeing the variety. I like seeing the diversity. I like most things about these lists. And I think it's going to be hopefully a fun ceremony later this year.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be, they made some strides here. They could have taken some more chances, but you know,
sure.
we can't win them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the fact that Abbott Elementary has gotten so much love is really awesome.
Yeah, that's a real treat. All right. I think with that, that's a wrap on this bonus emergency episode of TV BFFs. We'll be back sooner than you think in the next week or two with our current TV catch up, talking about our best and favorite shows from the last 3 months or so. Holy, so many shows. I am stressing. I don't have my list complete. I don't know where what I'm going to put where. My list is overloaded. There's too much good shit. That's not true. There can't be too much, but there's a lot. There's a lot of good shit. I'm excited to talk about it. But until next time.
All right. Until next time, friends.
Bye.
Bye. You've arrived here.